Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If Season 2, Episode 6. What if Kahori, who? Reshaped the world. All that and more of this that we have some amount of control over.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And with us today, again, we have J. Scotty St. Clair from Animation Deliberation and Multiverse News. What is going on, J. Scotty?
Salutations. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man.
It looked like you put your hands up to be like, please, please, cut the applause.
No autographs.
Calm it down, everybody. Sit.
You're our guest here today, J. Scotty. What did you think of this episode? What if Kahori reshaped the world?
Okay, so as we've been playing catch up and talking about being a few episodes ahead this entire time, the last time we cast, you kind of set my expectations for episode 6, and you did so with some reservations. You didn't want to, you know, lead me astray or overhype me. And all I got to say is you certainly did not. This season has just really started to like blossom and come into its own. And this was a standout entry for me. Like, what an incredible swing for the fences. Like, on paper, what a risky move for Marvel. Like, they have so many characters within the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they could revisit or spend more time with. Not to mention the comics, that there are so many characters that haven't been touched, but to choose to create their own character and present this character, it just works so well for me. What a fantastic introduction to such a wonderful character, and everything you said about it, the themes, the visuals, so much imagination on display, and such an important character that is instantly endearing. And I just had such a good time with this episode, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, this episode made all of my heart swell just constantly, just the whole time.
Yeah,
and like Matt texted me yesterday when I was like, oh, I don't have time to podcast tonight. I'm gonna watch 6 as soon as I can. He was like, all he said was 6 is fucking great, and I was like, okay. Like I watched the Iron Man 1. I was a little put off by it. Like, his pacing was off. The Captain Carter fighting Hydra Stomper was like a little better. Like, okay. You know, I'll take that with a grain of salt. But then after watching it, I was like, holy crap, why did I wait? I needed to watch this at midnight. This was so good.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I you guys have said it all. And now we're going to continue to talk for another 15 minutes. But
As we do.
Your move, holy man.
This is the way.
It is a just beautiful piece of work, completely original, nothing we've ever seen from this time period, or like it reminded me a lot of like a Black Panther just going to a totally different world, and like seeing what, you know, Black Panther is a wish fulfillment fantasy of what if there was an African nation that was able to overcome the sort of westernization and like colonialism and everything, and this is the beginnings of that story for a Native American tribe. And I think that is so cool, and like setting it in the multiverse and giving it this chance to like, what if they do spin the, and I'm really curious, and now we know at the end of this episode that Kahori and her people go across the oceans to attack the queen directly, or at least to
attack is a strong word.
Attack is a strong word.
Yeah, they put their foot down. They showed up to be like,
yes,
stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
You
yeah.
stop it.
Reprimand.
Quit being a jerk
is a better word. And it makes me wonder, like, does some of this stuff in this universe set off what we, is this the same universe as 1602 Avengers? Is kind of what I'm wondering. Or is it a different universe?
I think that's the question. And I was like asking myself, what time are they going to give us any indication as to what time this is? And my best guess is going to be like late 1400s, based on the fact that I believe that was supposed to be Queen Isabella of Spain. We see conquistadors. It's the Mohawk Nation, which, credit to the creators for, having consultants that are members of the Mohawk Nation, like as part of the creative team here. So yeah, my best guess has to be late 1400s, which leads us into the 1500s, which sets her up to appear in 1602 if she does retain like that immortality that she seemed to have gotten from Skyworld.
Right. And it would set up a world where like these European powers might try to like form some sort of Avengers. And it has me wondering if Kahori and her people might be like end up on the opposite side of the battlefield from the 1602 Avengers or something like that. Like, I don't know, like if that's the world they're setting up, but I don't know. This could be that this world with this queen is a totally separate world and Kahori will be pulled into the battle in some other way. I'm really curious about where it's going, because if that is setting that up, like, there was something that the Watcher said. Like, I know you said something about attack is a strong word, and I think so too. And she even says in there, like, we believe we're healthy if you're healthy. Like, we're not here to hurt you, is basically like what she's saying. And like, but there was something in the Watcher that he said something like, she was this like amazing, brave, blah, 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 like person. But then he says, but that's not the end of her story. And it almost meant like, it almost seemed to say like, but then she went too far or something like that. Like, I don't think she did in the story we saw here, but like, it made me wonder if like, and I always got a vibe. It gave me Killmonger vibes, which there's a lot of people that say, you know, there's nothing wrong with what Killmonger was doing. He was part of an oppressed group. Going, and like, I can't judge that, but I'm wondering, like, I wonder how they're going to navigate that here, because she gives me Killmonger vibes, but in Black Panther, Killmonger was the bad guy, and there was someone else, like, sort of like playing the middle road, you know, and deciding that letting him win the moral victory while defeating him, you know, and in this, if this is a similar story, but I don't know that it is. But I just got vibes from something that the Watcher said made me think that like she was gonna like use her powers and
he said something to the effect like she took action on her convictions, but she didn't stop there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was a hero rarely stops after their first victory. Yeah.
That's it. And there's just something ominous about that, right? Am I wrong? Does that not seem ominous to you guys a little bit?
I took it as him saying like a hero's gonna keep being a hero. Like, hero's gonna hero, you know?
I took it as similar to the Batman. You're either a hero, or you either die a hero, or you eventually become the villain. Like, that's the vibe I got from it.
Always with the DC with you guys.
That wasn't my read on it, but I think you're totally right. It's there if you want to read into that. And the comparisons to Killmonger, I agree wholeheartedly. And like, that's the thing about this episode and this character. Like, it is so wholly unique. Like, it stands on its own. Like, outside of like the opening where we learn that the Tesseract like had its impact, and then the final scene where we have Doctor Strange show up. Outside of that, like, this could not be connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all and work. And the fact that like the whole story is told in other languages, Spanish and, you know, the Mohawk nation language, but all that is true, but it's still like they could integrate her so well with so many of the Marvel characters. The connections to Black Panther are there. And like you mentioned Killmonger, but I also found myself thinking Magneto. And then when I thought Magneto, I was like, wow, she's a lot like Wanda. And one of my favorite moments in the episode was like, I just had the thought was like, she's kind of like the antithesis to Wanda. And that was right before the conquistador called her a witch. And I was like, oh yeah.
Well, and the other thing that I realized like during the final battle, she has the powers of Captain Marvel.
Exactly. Same power source.
Like,
yeah.
Set, really. Like, the speed, the blue flames that, like, coming out of her hands. Like, she's basically, if Captain Marvel happened earlier and to a Native American young lady. Like, it's neat. It's neat. It's really neat.
Well, I think this also, like, the parallel between Wanda and Kahuri is also apparent in Wanda was saying to Stephen Strange, like, you break the rules, you become a hero. I break the rules, and I'm a villain for that. Doesn't seem fair. And so, you know, with Kahuri breaking the rules, so to speak, and you know, bringing the portal down for everybody to come back through, like, she introduced a thing into the world that is huge. Like, there's huge implications there. There's a whole, like, race of people now that are just, like, way superpowered. Like, if there was a whole race of Captain Marvels running around, that would absolutely reshape the world. So, like, I don't know that she necessarily reshaped the world in this episode, but the implications further down the line are, like, huge.
Yeah.
I mean, because you kind of have to think colonialism was, like, stopped in its tracks right then and there. So, right. Like, how does that impact Namor and, like, you know, everything else we've seen? Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I had a moment.
Namor, again, Wakanda, all of it. Like, how does this impact the world in this very, like, real world way? Not just, you were saying this could be a... this could be separate from the MCU if it weren't for the very beginning. And I agree. And what's wild is, like, it would be such a great story set outside the MCU. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, we talk about it all the time about how you infuse new life into the MCU. And I've been saying it for weeks. So one of the things I've been, like, really talking about a lot about is you have to use the canon for what it is, but you always have to be infusing new creativity, new stories into that canon that are valuable. Basically, you need to insert as much value as you take away. Like, that's like a thing you have to do when you're building these long lasting universes. Because if you just keep taking value for what it is, like, you just keep using up the canon without infusing it with new creativity and interesting, like, new interesting characters and stories, you're just, like, you're utilizing the fandom without feeding them, basically. And they starve and it goes away.
It's like fossil fuels, man. It's eventually going to go away.
True. This story is something that, like, could absolutely exist. I could see this story being a feature film by itself.
True. Oh, I wanted that. Like, when the episode was ending, I was like, well, you can't stop there. No, there's so much more. Come on.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what I was going to say, is it would feel, if a movie ended right here, and it has no connection to anything, you'd be like, I need a sequel. Like, I need to know how this happened. I need to know what happens next. What happens in this world?
I need a sequel with her starring. I need a spinoff series of, like, you know, what the other European nations have going on.
Yeah.
Like, do they see Spain weakened and then try to, like, usurp Spain and take it over? Are they, like, trying to make alliances with these native tribes now? Like, how does that change?
Does the entire world ally against this small tribe because they see the power source? They not only were they already looking for the Fountain of Youth, which they've found, but they, like, are looking for a superhuman abilities, a source of superhuman ability. So it's like so many interesting stories could be told after this.
I need a what if of the what if, where all of these people who were in Skyworld, you've got the branches of, like, do they take over and become, like, Sky People Master Race? and like rule the world kind of in a Magneto House of M sort of way? Or do they become like benevolent guides for the world, like kind of pushing everyone into peace and taking the world that way? Like there's branches to this. There are so many what if stories had there.
Yeah, I think this is the setup for a wonderful story. And I think if 1602, like I've been wondering about the 1602 verse and like how that even works. Like, because if you're just setting it that far back, but the power sets are similar and stuff. I don't really know much about the 1602 verse, but is it the same characters? Is it Tony Stark and Hawkeye or whatever? Like, is it, how does that work?
It's similar.
Yeah.
Similar to that. Like Thor is the same because he's a Norse god trapped in a man's body. But the person of Donald Blake is like a very pious monk. And so to have this pagan god, like in him, the conflict that he has with himself is like, oh my God, these pagan gods are real. And I have like bonded with one, but my God is singular. And like, I pray, but you know, I have whatever relationship I have there. But then like, there's this one that's like literally inside me. Like it's a huge conflict for him.
Sure.
That sounds really interesting, but I don't think they're going to go that way just because of the different way that Thor exists in this.
Sure.
In the MCU. Yeah. But what about the other characters of the 1602 verse in comics? Is it?
I mean, there's like, the Fantastic Four are still a thing, but it's the four who are fantastique. You know, with a different spelling on it. There are, let's see, Captain America is a native man. God, what, like his name still sounds like Steve Rogers or like Steven Rogers, but it's spelled in a very odd way.
Sure. Oh, interesting. Okay. So it is different people that fall into those roles.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they just lift and shift everybody.
Because there's something that sometimes happens in these multiverses is like people just exist 10 years earlier or 20 years or 100 years, you know.
Looking at you, Victor Timely.
Exactly. So I was just curious. But it makes a lot of sense if this is the same verse as the 1602 verse, if this happened 100 years before that and it sort of like builds toward a crescendo and then you need these heroes to come together for whatever purpose. I think it all just sounds really exciting and fascinating.
I would love that. I don't think, though, that they're going to go that route, unfortunately, because Doctor Strange showed up. Or what? Supreme? Strange Supreme?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Whichever version.
Yeah. I feel like the narrative has been in season two, like we've just started calling him Strange Supreme, but I don't feel like that's what we were calling him in season one. I thought we were calling him like Dark Strange. And,
yeah, we were on the podcast, but I think Strange Supreme was what they was called in like the toys.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Because I think when I think Strange Supreme, I think of the one that we saw in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, yeah. Like Hero Strange or whatever. Like that version that's a hero at the beginning.
Yeah, the one that, you know, was a colleague of the John Krasinski, Reed Richards.
Yeah, the one who got black bolted to death.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That one, 838 Strange, I don't remember what we were calling him, because there's Defender Strange, which is the one that we saw at the beginning.
Yeah.
The ponytail.
Yeah.
But no, the internet also calls this darker Strange, with, you know, in his little snow globe universe, Strange Supreme. But I don't remember what 838 was being called.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't either. They're both pretty dark versions of Strange, except that one's went kind of pure evil. This one seems to have been pulled out of his evil by his experiences with the Watu, and just the destruction of his universe. He seems to have like learned a lesson. At least at the end of What If Season 1, Uatu and him seem to be on the same side. But that's, I guess, what I'm my question. Whether the 1602 verse and this verse are the same, I still find it interesting that we've got Scarlet Witch pulling Captain Carter into the 1602 world, and then we have Doctor Strange Superior Strange or Doctor Strange, as we called him last season, pulling Kahori. So is that two separate? Are they pulling for the same purpose? Or are they pulling for two different sides? Or are they, is he trying to fix something that was changed in the 1400s? Like, I'm really interested to see where all, like, there's a lot, it's a lot more complex than last season where it was just kind of like plucking people. Uatu was plucking people. Now it's like,
Uatu's like, I need a team to fight this one thing.
Yeah, and this season it's like, there's multiple different groups pulling people into different multiverses we haven't seen yet, and Uatu doesn't know what's going on, which is a whole nother question, because Uatu sees everything, and he's like, what the hell was that?
Of what if it's two teams? It's got, like, kind of Secret Wars vibes. Of, like,
sure.
Let's create two teams and have them fight. But it's, like, multiversal Secret Wars?
Yeah.
I did just want to take a moment just to give some, like, real praise to the animation in this episode. We talked about how imaginative the visuals are, but, you know, What If has had a pretty consistent style, and one of the features are, like, I feel like it's kind of like concept art brought to life, especially when you look at the backgrounds and then the characters themselves seem to be, like, you know, a little bit more of a rigged model that, you know, they can change the expressions of or what have you. But one of the big features is like, they always use rim lighting to, like, it makes everything seem kind of like overexposed and kind of dreamlike and give you the sense that you're looking at things through a different lens. But I absolutely love the way it was used in this episode. I think spending so much time outdoors really lent itself to that style, and seeing the beams and shafts of light that were piercing the forest canopy as Kahori and Wata were, like, walking around, I was just like, wow, this is just breathtakingly beautiful. And then we make the transition to Skyworld, and you get to see, like, you know, the landscape infused with, like, this magical energy and the skyline. You've got multiple moons and celestial bodies happening up there. It was just, you know, it was a sight to behold. But, you know, thinking about Skyworld, I wanted to bring it up when you mentioned it earlier, Jeff, but we've talked about how Kahori could easily be, you know, integrated with so many of these characters. But I actually found myself thinking a lot about Shang-Chi and Tao Lo and how, like, that city. And I was like, okay, like, what is this Skyworld? Is it a place that the Tesseract is just transporting them to? Or is it, like, a realm that is connected to their spirituality? And one of the, like, the seven cities of heaven that could be, like, amongst the ranks of, you know, Kunlun and Talo and what have you.
Interesting. I took it as they're just on another planet, mostly because it sounded like the only people who are there are the people who fell into the waters, right? Like, we know, at least that's what the way he seemed to talk about it. He's like, he talks about his cousin. My cousin fell in, and then we thought he was missing for a long time, but he's right there.
He's right there.
What's up?
Hi. Yeah. Hey, Bill.
So I took it as they're just getting transported off to another world, but that's interesting. Like you said, you just said that Shang-Chi, the realm they go to is Talo. And that seems like it's a separate realm, not a separate world, right? Like, but we really don't know. Like, it kind of goes back to what we've talked about a million times with the Asgardian realms. It's like, what's, and with all the Doctor Strange universes, what's a realm? What's a universe? What's a planet? What's
a dimension?
Yeah. What does all that mean in this verse?
Well, because, like, in Doctor Strange, you needed a sling ring to create a portal to get out of the mirror dimension, right? Yes. Like, you couldn't just break through. You had to use that sling ring portal to get out. And then in Shang-Chi, when they were going to Ta Lo, it looked like the same effect, but with water was being used to transport them. So, like, is Ta Lo just in a different place, or is it in a different dimension, if such a thing can be called that? And, like, does the Tesseract, or does the Space Stone, as it is, does that do the same thing? And does that, you know, does that allow for transportation just between places in space in that one universe? Does it allow for transportation between dimensions? You know, the portal that Strange Supreme used was a different color. different texture. Like it just entirely looked different from the one that was, you know, in the sky. And then the one that she brought down, like it's all, it's a different kind of energy, but I don't know if it's like, if it's achieving the same goal and has the same rules, you know, defining it, so to speak.
Indeed.
And we may never know until the official, we've got the official timeline. What would it be like, the official map of the Marvel multiverse?
Yeah. I really need the rules engine. Like if you could tell me how the MCU runs, like how gravity functions, if it's the same, like are these energy dimensions, are they the same? Like I need rules so that I know how to break them. So that I can get on the lunchbox.
Yeah, man. Gotta get on the lunchbox. Well, my friends, I guess that's about it. Anybody else got any thoughts?
Last thing I've got is we've talked a lot about the potential crossover with 1602 and just thinking about that time frame. I wonder, you know, if the reception to this character is positive enough, will we see a transition to live action? And could we see that as soon as Agatha? Because we know Agatha existed circa 1600s.
I like that. Yeah. I like that idea. Oh. That would be really rad.
Yeah, this character interacting with actual witches when they called her a witch.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, give me a live action movie of this told, you know, with a little bit more breadth or whatever, and then like a little more of the story told, and then just drop her into Secret Wars and stuff. You know, like she's such a cool character. I would love to see Kahori show up more.
Just smash her into Secret Wars, and I would be so happy. I would be so happy.
Something like that over the next few episodes, some version of that, and it's really, really, really well done. All right, guys. Well, we will be back tomorrow with another episode. If you want to get the episodes a little faster, as soon as I edit them, they're going up on patreon.com/MCUcast, and we'll be continuing to drop one a day in the main feed. Jay Scotty, where can people find you online?
Yeah, thanks again for having me. It's been a lot of fun to talk about these episodes. If you want to hear me talk about more animated content, check out Animation Deliberation. And as we mentioned at the top of the episode, I'm on Multiverse News every week.
Sweet. Well, we'll be back very soon, my friends. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.